Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Chirag Patil.
You're watching Consider This, and our guest on the show tonight, we have the Menteri Besar of Johor, Dato' Hasni Muhammad. Welcome to the show, Dato' Hasni. It's good to have you joining us today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Melissa and Sharad, for inviting me for this very meaningful opportunity for me, actually, be available at the program today.
All right, so we've got half an hour with you, so we want to get through some kind of key issues of the day. I think let's begin our conversation first with the COVID-19 situation on the ground and Johor's approach to managing this pandemic, specifically specifically through vaccination, if I may. What have been some of the state-specific challenges that you, as Menteri Besar, have had to deal with, particularly with the state-level vaccination rollout in Johor? And since we've had a couple of months to learn from some of these challenges, what lessons have you taken on board since the vaccination process began?
Well, the challenges is actually meeting the expectation of the public at large. They expect that a higher number of vaccination to take place. They expect that the vaccine centers are closer to their home, and they were hoping that certain type of vaccine will be provided to them. And I suppose as much as that is the expectation of the public, at the same time, the government has move forward by making sure that all the existing vaccine centers might manage well. All effort has been made to make sure that the targeted numbers of vaccination scheduled for every state to happen as planned, and at the same time that all other effort to manage this pandemic is ongoing and improve as we go along. I suppose we have identified the necessary numbers of vaccine centers. If that is the concern of the public to see more vaccine to be available or bigger numbers get vaccinated as we move into July, August, September, and until October, when Johor plan to complete our vaccination, at least 80% of our population is got their vaccination.
Dr. Hasni, you know, we recently had three MPs from Johor on our show talking about the specific problems that they, have to face. I don't know if you had a chance to hear the show, but do you think that many of the problems they have are related to strategies not within your control? I mean, the state of Johor, does it essentially have to follow what federal says at this point in time? It has no autonomy to re-strategize or recalibrate the ground approach to either the vaccination program or even the testing and isolation and tracing strategies.
Sharad, I suppose after more than a year now that we are facing this pandemic, not only the state, but also the public at large is well aware about the, MCO that is being introduced, reason for introducing the restricted MCO, and later on, we, from a control MCO or enhanced MCO, we move to the next level where we open up all the essential services. I suppose whether the state assembly or legislator that is following through the government program, we have ideas that is being brought forward, and it doesn't fall to deaf ears. We listen to their proposal, we listen to their ideas, and we just feel that currently, with the cooperation of everybody, the system that is put in place by the government, whether the responsibility of the health department, whether the responsibility of the monitoring bodies like the police, the military, or the local authority, I suppose it has or it requires the understanding and cooperation from all sector, and that is what is taking place in Johor. As much as this is something which have to be done in collaboration with the federal authority, but that doesn't mean that we at the state level will have to, you know, not anything is cast in stone. So we have to look at the state capacity. We have to look at the state. I would say what's best for the state in terms of
what. Dr. Hasni, what is the state capacity? Because you said 80% vaccination targeted by October. I'm just wondering whether that's in line with the National Recovery Plan that was recently announced. And where are the stumbling blocks, do you see? I mean, is the state of Johor is a big state, one that requires, covers a large geographical area. What are the stumbling blocks to getting that 80% vaccination? Is it supply? Is it the transport, getting vaccines to people? How are you going to overcome that? Because within 4 months to reach 80% vaccination is an ambitious goal.
I agree that the supply of vaccine is the challenge that we are facing right now. We were expected to be prepared to be able to vaccinate in the region of about 50,000 per day. As far as the infrastructure, in order to achieve that, no issue. The state is ready. We have the necessary, I would say, opportunity, whether the vaccine center for industry, whether the vaccination for the district at the district level, or more should be provided for the district of Johor Bahru, for instance, because that is the most populated district. We have all that in place. We should be able to have the number of vaccinators at every vaccine centers. So as much as the Prime Minister has said that requesting the public to be patient, all steps and measures are being taken by the federal government. So at the state level, what we can do in the meantime, while waiting for the vaccine to be made available, is to increase our effort in testing capacity. We have been working with so many parties, even with our neighbors, Singapore, whether we could share the way Singapore procure DIY test kit, for instance. Recently, we received 20,000 RTK antigen test kit. Then with that, more tests can be carried out on the ground. And other than that, we are also looking at getting ready for our COVID quarantine centers, so that the level 1, level 2 they need not be home quarantined, but rather treated at the various quarantine centres that has got better medical attention. We have improved our hospital beds in view that more testing, more people are going to be tested. We have worked very closely with the industry so that their employee will get tested more often, more regularly, on a regular basis. So these are the things that the state finds that it is not an issue in complying what is expected or what has been planned by the federal government.
Dr. Hasni, any plans to purchase vaccines by the state? It seems to be something on the minds of both Selangor and Sarawak at this point in time. Do you have any such plans?
You know, Sharad, that whatever vaccine that will be used will have to be approved by NPRA. So we have indicated quite some time now that the state is prepared. Even in my stimulus package 3.0, which was recently announced, the state has put aside a substantial amount of allocation for the purpose of purchasing vaccine. So yes, we are interested to purchase, and the ministry that responsible for bringing in the vaccine, our Mr. Hairi Jamaluddin, the minister in charge, I've already indicated, or the state have written to the ministry, of our keen interest on purchasing vaccine our own. So when 2 days back, when this CanSino was another type of vaccine that is approved to be used by the by this program, so we should be allowed to purchase our vaccine soon, I hope.
Right. Okay. All right. Dr. Hasni, we're going to take a quick break on the show, but let's come back and continue this conversation. After this, we'll discuss the prospect for reopening the Malaysia-Singapore border and its impact on the Johor economy. Stay tuned to consider this. Hi, thanks for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We're continuing our look at how Johor is dealing with the pandemic. Dato' Hasni Muhammad, the Menteri Besar of Johor, is on the show with us today. Dato' Hasni, let's talk a little bit about the Johor economy. I understand that the Johor government recently announced its third COVID-19 economic response package to the tune of some 241 million ringgit. I'm wondering, in designing of these initiatives under this package, what was the assessment done of the damage done on the Johor economy so far? When you were thinking about coming up with this, with the initiatives under this package, what were some of the main considerations for Johor businesses and the Johor economy?
Well, pre COVID pandemic, Johor enjoyed growth surpassed the federal GDP. We acknowledge that the cross-border economy contribute substantial to the Johor State economy. The construction sector, for instance, at one point in time, we have such a huge investment by Petronas in oil and gas in Pengerang. We have substantial contract undertaken by the development of Forest City, and of course manufacturing sector as the main contributor to our economic growth. Now, having said that, we also acknowledge that if we could not recover sooner on this pandemic, we will be the state that is going to be the most affected and worse than any other state. As much as we can do much better than other state pre-pandemic. Therefore, we had to understand that the opening of the border, we have to understand that it is so important that Johor keep on getting the foreign direct investment into the state, which is all now being affected. So we just have to make sure that we have something planned post-COVID so that when we can manage or we can have the cases to a manageable level, or we could flatten the curve to a level where we can resume to discuss again or talk again to maybe to our neighboring country, Singapore, China, or any other country that I would say has the most investment in the state of Johor. If we can resume back to the to that stage, then that will be something that is important to bring back the state economy. And
ask you, so Johor might have its own plans, right? And Johor might in fact run its vaccination program well and so on and so forth, but it is tied to the rest of the peninsula. If the rest of the states in the federation fail to keep their numbers down, it's going to have an impact on Johor, isn't it? I mean, in some ways, Johor can't go at this alone.
Yes, of course. I can't be closing our border for other states, or other public to be coming over to Johor. Yes, I agree, Sharat. It has to be something that the national recovery plan should be something workable, something that that can happen, and with that as the background, as far as the state is concerned, I just have to make sure that whatever investment that we have at the state of Johor, they feel protected, they feel that their concern is also the concern of the state. I will engage more with the multinational companies that is here in Johor. I will make sure that our local authority will not do their business as usual. They will have to look at ways and means as to how they could ease businesses or implement new policy so that businesses, CEOs, companies that is here in Johor will feel that they are being given attention, during difficult times. Yes.
Well, how are they responding to that? Particularly, with the National Recovery Plan, there are some business associations that have come out to say that actually this is not a good thing for business confidence. In fact, they're feeling the impact of economic lockdown and these four stages. I'm wondering whether you've had dialogue with them, particularly in terms of restarting the Johor economy by restarting perhaps green lanes with Singapore and the like. What are you hearing from the business community within Johor and in Singapore?
Melissa, first I need to understand why do I need to do that? It's something that it is have to be balanced between life and livelihood. So I can't be doing something that which is against the federal initiative. But what's best for me to do is to understand the situation in Johor. If I know that a lot of our retail sector, a lot of our manufacturing sector, because of our airport, our seaports, because of our infrastructure, require more export to be done. So I just have to make sure that our vaccine center for industry will have to be effectively managed and will have to be put in place first, or some priority given to this sector. That is the reason why we have our own EMU plan, a website where we give Johorian or Malaysian who need to work across to Singapore, who need to go across to Singapore, they can register themselves, and Ministry Science and Innovation, Mr. Hairi Jamaluddin has agreed that he will give priority to those wanting to cross over to Singapore, where 100,000 vaccine has been provided for that purpose. On top of that, when EMU plan was put in place, up to date, we have 119,000 that have registered, and they are all waiting for a date or the arrival of the vaccine. In fact, the state has identified the specific quarantine vaccine center for all the 119 that is registered under EMU plan. So these are the things that the state can do in order to prepare the state once the COVID-19 cases reach to a certain level where it is safe to travel, when it is possible for us to discuss again with Singapore in terms of the to reactivate the RGL, the reciprocal green lane, or to activate the periodical commuting arrangement between Johor, Malaysia and Singapore. So, right.
Yeah, this is the step that you're taking,
Melissa.
Yeah. Right. Dr. Hasni, what has been the response from Singapore? At this point in time, I understand quarantine procedures require Malaysians coming over to spend 3 weeks in quarantine, which is, you know, they might as well just not have us over there with a three-week quarantine period. Are they very concerned?
Minister Vivian, Foreign Minister of Singapore, to consider that with that period of quarantine that is imposed, it is a heavy, burden financially, because the cost incurred, you know, the longer we introduce the quarantine period, more cost will be. So this is the thing that I've already conveyed to Singapore, and that is the reason why we continue to collaborate between Johor and Singapore, whereby recently they provide us with 20,000 RTK antigen test kit, so that whether a shorter quarantine period or whatever period that has been introduced by Singapore, is all for the concern that the huge number of COVID cases here in Johor. I believe that once the number is lowered down to a reasonable figure, maybe Singapore probably can consider, not just Singapore, but any other country, might consider a shorter quarantine period.
Right. Dr. Hasni, in the time that we have left, I just want to ask you very quickly about the recent statement made by not just the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, but also collectively by the Malay rulers, in which they said Parliament must convene, should convene as soon as possible, but also state legislative assemblies should convene as well. I'm just wondering what you will be doing in response to that, the two statements that came out recently.
Malaysia, about 2 weeks ago, I organized a video conference with all my state legislative assembly, including members of parliament. We talked about our COVID-19 cases here in Johor. I received a suggestion, a proposal from members of the Legislative Johor Assembly about what the government should be focusing on. So I suppose if the State Assembly were to convene, we will be talking about the same thing. How do we manage COVID and how do we handle the economy of the state? What have the state done in terms of helping out those unfortunate citizen that is affected because of this COVID-19. So, in a way, Johor has even started an unofficial assembly. So, if we were allowed to proceed with the assembly, yes, we will convene as soon as possible.
All right. Thank you, Dato' Hasni, for speaking with us tonight. That was our conversation with Dato' Hasni Muhammad, the Menteri Besar of Johor, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. Before we leave you tonight, don't forget that you can get the latest news on COVID-19 vaccines from astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching the show. Thank you and good night.